Okay, this also, is a meeting of the National Finance Committee, and my name's Dave Adelson. I'm the chair pro tem. I'm going to call the meeting to order, and Donna Warren has agreed to serve as secretary for 90 minutes of this call. And Donna, would you be willing to call the roll?
Okay, I will. But, you know, I don't have everybody's name. I only have the names that you called out because I am not quite set up to do that yet.
Okay, then while you're getting ready, I'll go ahead and is that okay?
Why don't you call the roll?
Okay. Warren Turner?
Present.
Alice Shields? Baruti Bediako?
Present.
Sandy Weinman, Henry Cooper, Donna Warren,
here,
Dave Adelson, here, Carol Spooner,
here,
LaVarne Williams,
here,
and Max Blanchet is the interim treasurer, so he's joining the call. Max, are you there?
Yes, here.
Okay, and Lonnie Hicks, the CFO.
Here.
Okay, so that's a quorum, let us start. There's a single agenda item for this meeting, and that is review the WBAI budget review. And I'll just turn it over to you, Lonnie, if you want to give us some information about that, and we can go from there.
Well, what I'd like to do is review the WBAI situation, starting with just an update for those of that are new on the call. And then do a look at the cash flow at WBAI, and then look at budget, and then maybe look at some balance sheet items for WBAI, and then go from there to questions. And feel free to jump in. I just did receive from Hendra her latest cash flow statement. You have an update on that as well. Let me just start out by saying that WBAI has been a station that we have been looking at for several months, at least a year. I think a year ago in February, we were concerned about WBAI to the point where we did, in fact, because of drives, poor drives, and I'm always fond of saying that at Pacifica, most of our stations are one or two bad drives away from serious financial difficulty. And WBAI did have a drive that didn't go as well as they wanted to over a year ago. Just about a year ago. We did go to WBAI and created what we call our core recovery contingency plan, which was the goal of which was to identify in advance if those further subsequent drives couldn't recoup some of the funds that were lost, that we would reduce the budget, that we would look at layoffs, we would look at everything else before going to layoffs, but we did develop a contingency plan. As we moved up to the budget cycle for this fiscal, which began several months ago, well, we again looked at WBAI finances, wanting to see, had the station recovered, and what its financial status was. We agreed at at that budget meeting that we would come back after the first quarter or so to look at WBAI after the initial drive, which is the fall drive, had been completed, and we'd have some sense of what the financial status of that station is. I'm going to report on that drive and the overall financial status of that station. The goal was $900,000, and the drive begun in October exceeded goal, $926,000, and some extra funds that came from non-drive sources. Of course, everyone there is to be congratulated. It was tough. Nothing's easy. But they reached out, and listeners did support the station. I went there with Dan to review that drive and to look at other financially related situations at WBAI. We looked at the drive in terms of the receipts and some of the detail. You have some of that in the MemSys report. But we also looked at upcoming drives, because my concern is, while that drive was well and good, that drive number, which is to say 900,000, is not the goal for the subsequent two drives that are coming up. That would be in January and in the spring. Those numbers are 1.1 million, a couple hundred thousand dollars more than the fall drive. Those are two serious goals. So we discussed it with the finance people in Don, saying, well, you know, we do now have two other mountains to climb, and the planning for that has to be as tight as was the planning for the first drive. So that process has begun. How will 1.1 million be achieved in the January drive? The second area we look in the planning, I won't go into detail around it unless folks have specific questions. The next area we looked at was cash flow. How does or did the cash for that station look? Not only during the drive, but projected out. And Indra, who is the business manager there, did her cash flow projections and trying to see how the cash actually went. Now, to track cash, and I know this creates some confusion for folks about what impacts cash at various stations. Let's track cash from a September start point, because I think that helps explain how cash not only happened at WBAI, but how it happens at other stations, too. In September 30th is usually the low cash point for this network, because we're coming off the summer where revenues are much reduced, and we're entering that period September 1st to September 30th where there is generally no drive. So our cash position as a network is lowest in the month of September while we await October drives to begin. And in the case of WBAI, it would impact WBAI, it would impact all the other stations in the national office as well. Question arises is, how does this network and the station survive that low cash seasonality, which is describes how Pacifica works? And it's very important to understand we are a seasonal business. I've said it many times, but here's a good example of how that works. In September, cash is low, and generally what stations do is they begin drives in the third week in October. But what happens to bridge that low cash period, September 30th to October 20th or so, is that CPB funds come in. And those funds come in a lump sum. So you have what amounts to an additional lump sum funds. How much? And you look at my September report, you'll see $840,000 came in from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. For those of you that don't know, it's our grant monies coming from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and they're essential to bridge that cash gap September, October. How much? $841,000. This effectively saves this network's life twice a year. In September, the amount, as I said, is $840,000. That goes out to the station, so there's a portion which is retained by the national office to fund other programming, including a Free Speech Radio News, Democracy Now. And that happens again in the spring. For a total of this year, that year will be $1.6 million. So you get it in two lump sums. That infusion of cash up front in lump sums is crucial component of this network's financing and how it operates. So when that, looking at WBAI, you look at their cash. They say, well, in September they only had $139,000, and their bills are $260,000, $270,000 per month. How is it that they can bridge that gap? Answer, they got $181,000 from CPB in the month of October, which helped them bridge the gap until the receipts from that initial, that October drive comes through. And that will be the case for many of our states as national office as well. Those funds coming in a lump sum help bridge between that October drive and the winter drive, which in BEI's case will begin on the January. Okay, bottom line. So cash flow, as of today, I mean the 28th, WBI's cash in the bank is $328,000. They will expend their funds over the period, as of today, through the January 17th start of that second drive. They'll have to pay their monthly bills, and that'll be $250,000, $260,000. And they'll start their drive, which by the end of January, that is in the two-week period, they may receive half of their stated goals for that drive. Maybe a credit card mostly will, those funds come in with, usually within a week. Okay, summing up WBI. What is there to worry about? What is there to be concerned about? I have three items.
Can we ask questions, or do we wait till the end of your presentation? This is Max Blanchet from Berkeley.
I'll just do my three concerns, and I'll shut up. How's that? Okay, then I'll go back?
Sorry, Max, I was muted. Let's let Lonnie finish, and then the whole call is essentially going to be questions. So,
okay, very good.
Let him get to the end, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, the three areas that that I believe that we have to be concerned about with WBAI as well as other stations, but WBAI admittedly is at the top of the list, or at least one of the lists I have, is always cash. Because the question becomes, if the drive in January does not realize the 1.1 or realizes it in across a three-month period, remember, all those funds do not come in the month the drive takes place, you're actually receiving those funds over 2 months, most of the time over three. Third month, usually 10 to 15 to 20% of those drive monies come in. Cash flow is an issue. And when it becomes apparent that the drive may succeed, we all take a deep breath and worry about the spring drive. But if it looks like that drive will not succeed and is short, say, a couple $100,000, then we will need to have in place, as we did last year, a contingency plan, which will involve several scenarios around reducing expenses further, et cetera, et cetera. Many of you have gone through this before. You sort of know what we're talking about. The second area of concern is the transition. The general manager there, Don Rojas, is leaving the station March 31st. We confirm that his intent is to leave. Has not changed his mind at this point. And what needs to happen is a transition. Whereby various issues have to be addressed, as would be a case for any transition. And there is a transition team that we've started to work with, including myself and our executive director and Don himself and the business manager. And Don is working with some LSB people to bring him into that team, some union people, as well as Bernard White, the program director. And the transition goals would be not only the financial transition issues, but looking at other issues as well that occur in the context of a departing general manager. I regard that as serious as the financial issues because stability at the station is important. The third area, and I'll finish on that note, is the situation where you have a new board of local station board there at the station and the integration of that board into the operations and maybe dealing with an interim general manager is always a new board, new interim general manager, always room for hits and misses. So those areas I think are important. The last one is long term. That is, as I said at the LSB meeting, I think a couple of weeks ago when they met, that the bottom line financial goal of WBI has to be to move away from the hand-to-mouth sort of financing, you know, drive to drive, to do the thinking that will move that station from that sort of precarious way of proceeding, and a number of ideas are being tossed around about how to achieve that. But it will take, and I think the transition period is a good time to start doing that longer range thinking and to working with a new board and even an interim and some of the staff and the union people there to say, what is it going to take for the station to have a sustainable financial base for the future? So that would be some of the quick summaries.
Okay, thanks very much. I think just there's so many different kinds of things we could talk about on this. I was hoping that we could structure it a little bit by taking a section at a time, sort of a review of how what has happened compared to what was projected, and then a section on what's coming, and then maybe toward the end what we need to do, if anything, acceptable to people. So if that is, then if people have questions where they'd like to look at, okay, what's just happened and where are we at now, can anybody have anything on that topic?
Well, I have a couple of questions. It's kind of related to what you've just raised.
Okay, go ahead, Max.
To what extent can we rely on a line of credit to help us bridge the cash flow problem? Is that an option at all? Of course, when we do that, we pay interest and whatever we borrow. No, I understand that. But do we have that as an option?
Question for me, Max?
Yeah.
Well, we do. I mean, if you look at Pacifica's balance sheet and finances over the last 3 or 4 years, 3 years ago, we were not a credit-worthy network. We couldn't get a line of credit and didn't. But, you know, our assets if you take our balance sheets and look at net assets, you'll see that we, you know, went from, you know, net assets negative to a situation where now where we are credit worthy. The short answer is yes, we can get a lot of credit, but I'm always nervous about taking on debt, because it's so easy to get into debt. And secondly, is the issue of managing a line of credit. If we're talking small sums, but the a line of credit to be helpful, say at a WBEI or any other, would have to be in the neighborhood of $1,000, enough to make sure that you get.
Could you repeat that, Lonnie? You guys.
Yeah, I missed that. Yes.
Oh, I was saying that a line of credit for WBAI or other station would have to cover at least 1 month's expenses. And that would be in the neighborhood of $200,000 to $250,000. I'm always nervous about taking on debt, and a line of credit is debt, because managing it, controlling it, and is always difficult. You'd have to have so I would say it's sort of an answer, Max, but it would not be my first choice. Okay,
I have a follow up question very quickly, and I'll be quiet. This is not clear in my mind. The cash flow problem, based on what you've been saying, it seems to me that it's being handled locally as opposed to centrally. It seems to me that if it's done nationally, then it might be easier to deal with the line of credit in the short term, where we can manage the line of credit properly as opposed to managing it locally at each one of the five stations. That needs to be clarified in my mind.
Well, it's a point. And I certainly I agree that it probably does need to be centralized. There has to be real clear controls and a payback mechanism. You know, a payback mechanism. Because any bank that would extend a line of credit is going to look at the ability to repay that line of credit. They're going to look at the same issues we look at and say, well, okay, will they pay it back? So even if it were handled nationally, if a station defaulted, then it creates, you know, a problem for whoever's holding that note.
I'd just like to say that I think that also, the idea of borrowing money to cover what may be a structural problem is a real
threat, it's a danger. And while if it's a question of bridging, that's one thing. But if what we're finding is that in every drive they're having to struggle like mad, then you need to look at two things, the how you raise money or how much you can raise, and two, what's your cost structure. And to delay that by incurring debt seems to me a little bit of a dangerous idea to start with. I don't know how other people feel about that. Lonnie, I had a question, which is the targeted goal for the September drive was 900,000. What assumption of fulfillment are you using, and how does that compare to actual fulfillment? I mean, what was the projection that would be the fulfillment on that, and how much cash were they expected to get out of that $900,000 pledge, and where are we relative to that?
Well, at WBAI, we generally work with a fulfillment assumption of about 75%, and that historically has occurred, except for that one bad drive that we alluded to. So that's the assumption for this drive. On that $900,000, then of course, as a goal, then you're looking at 75% of that, which is the $675,000. But that won't come in, of course, in 1 month. It would come in over 2.5 months or 3 months. So I'm sort of at this point saying they're about where they need to be. They're short about 30, 40, 50,000 maybe. But, you know, next week it's the holidays and, you know, things don't flow as they normally flow. But I don't have major red flags for them right now.
Carol, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the October income statement, Lonnie, and I see that we had, I believe the way the CPB money was in the budget was just spreading it out equally over 12 months, but that's not how it comes in.
Right.
No, it comes in two sums, one in October, and is the second one in May?
I think it's 6 months after October.
Yeah. All right, so the budget did not, we hadn't budgeted to receive that money in October, but we did receive it, and it's shown on the income statement as $40,000 up in the grants income CPB.
Yeah.
$40,000, and then there's another $150,000 shown down in the cash budget as cash WBAI CPB funds. So my first question, I have two. My first question is, why is it shown down in the cash and capital budget rather than up on the income line, since it is CPB grant income? And the other question I have is this. Because we get our CPB money in two lump sums, it seems prudent to me that we don't budget to spend it all in 1 or 2 months, but that the budget that we plan as a cash flow, that we plan our cash so that at the end of the year, when we're not holding fund drives, that we've reserved enough of that CPB money to carry us over the dry months. And if we're using the CPB money, 6 months worth of CPB money to get through 2 or 3 months worth of, or even 1 month's worth of cash flow deficit, then it's not there later in the year. And so it just, the problem keeps recycling year after year after year. Do you feel that we have budgeted, we have enough control over expenses at BAI and over the budget at BAI to come out of this fiscal year, the end of September, with enough cash to get through October to the next drive? Or will it be another next year we're going to be using the CPB money to get through it. Just your thoughts about that. And the first question to repeat was, why is that CPB money shown in, down in the cash and capital budget instead of up on the income line?
Well, yeah, you know, the answer to that one is that, you know, in the accounting system is such that they require you to take a receivable like the CPB money, that is, monies that you project you will get, and accrue it. You could accrue it all in 1 month and say, hey, all the money's going to go in 1 month, but that's a problematic because people think they have more money than they do, and they don't, in fact, save it like what you were talking about and utilize it over the course of the year or what have you. So it's budgetized and accrued at that $40,000 level so that folks will not misunderstand that they have more than they do, and it forces them to utilize the funds in a prudent way across the month. So the budget is a control factor there. If you exceed your $40,000 allotment from CPB in a given month, that's back. So it forces people not to do that. So you can identify. The second reason is an accounting reason, which is that the auditors want us to do it that way. And what we've done here at the network is we said, wait a minute, if cash of that amount is coming in, we want to see it. So we've created the cash and capital component down below to show that cash coming in so that we in the finance committee and the board can see it. And while that's not a standard report, as you probably heard me say many times, it is useful. I'm coming to believe that it is useful information for folks to have. If that money came in, yeah, it's nice to know that it did and you know how it, where it went and how it's used. So that's why the third question was, well, how can we be sure that they won't take that and, in essence, expend it, and then in September, we won't be back with the same situation? Well, the answer that comes to mind, as you know, this happens all the time. It has been happening. One of our first answers to that situation was, let's ask each station and the national office to have 1 month's reserve. In a way, that addresses that issue. Because if you have 1 month's reserve showing by September 30th, then you have the income you need to bridge that September 30th to October 20th period. So stations that do have and have saved that 1 month's reserve won't have the problem, irrespective of what happens with the CPB monies. To if we were to try to come up with a mechanism around the CPB money, we might say, look, you have to be assured that you don't expend that CPB money. But I consider that an ordinary budgeting and monitoring device, you know.
Could I ask a follow-up question? Because I got a little confused. I think I heard you say a few minutes ago that WBAI did spend their CPB money in order to bridge the gap this year. Is that correct?
They took the funds that they got from CPB, as most of the stations do, and they essentially will use it, whatever they need to do, to pay payroll or carry it over. But if you look at their cash flow, or in this case they got $150,000, you'll see it in the income statement, they pretty much, you know, ended the month, each month, with at least $150,000 bank. So they didn't sort of spend it. They used it to pay bills up until the drive money started to come in. Cash is cash. Now, to answer the question about whether they will have it at the end of September 30th, 2004, if the drive goes badly in January, then we're in recovery mode, and we deal with the issues as they pop up. They will not. I mean, if they spend CPB money beyond what's been budgeted, $40,000 a month or whatever their number is in their budget, we will know.
Well, that's what the income statement shows they did, is that they spent it. If I'm looking at it correctly, if I'm understanding it correctly, the bottom line on the income statement shows excess expenses over income of $137,907.
Yeah,
not including that 150 that they got from the CPB. So
yeah, that's
it
down below.
Like
that's
they
true.
Didn't.
They used those funds to bridge the gap.
Right. So that means that they spent more than their $40,000 monthly allotment of CPB money for October, I'm understanding this correctly.
Yeah, that's true for that would be true for most stations. But what happens?
Well, actually, I don't think it was true for any other station, if my reviewing the income statements is correct.
It's going to be true for the national office.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be true in this case for WBAI, and different years it's different stations. It's true to some extent for PRA. They're not part of CPB funds, but we're talking about the generalized situation where you need gap funding. But if that budget in the succeeding months beyond that 1 month in September, presumably their spending and their budgeting makes up that difference. And if you look at succeeding months in the budget, you ask the question, will they build up surpluses over the next 2 or 3 months to make up for whatever CPB money they spent to bridge that gap? Yeah, the budgets are set up that way to take that into consideration. It's not like they overspent. And then you want to also look at after they spent that 150 that shows up on the income statement, did they recoup enough cash in the drive to create and make up for that 150 they spent? The answer comes, well, yeah, they did. And so you've got a situation now where they have the $328,000 as of December 28th before they go into the drive here in January. So, yeah, they made it up. That's revenue-driven, which makes me nervous. I say when you're counting on revenue, and it does, that's how you've structured your dynamics and your finances.
Okay, this is LaVarne. Just a quick question. Okay, so BAI went from 137.
LaVarne, before you go, Carol, did you get what you're doing finished?
Well, sort of. It looks like they're on budget for the drive. But they're over budget in spending their CPB money, so.
Okay, but you got the answer you were looking for.
Yeah, but because they're on budget for the drive doesn't mean they've made up the CPB money. It means they're on budget for the drive.
Okay, well, let's go to LaVarne, and then we can come back if you.
Oh, well, this is kind of just a follow up on Carol. I'm trying to understand the thread here. October BAI had 137. Is that correct? An excess income. Over expenses, and then November, we don't know what it was. And then December, you said they're at about 328. Is that correct?
Yeah. They're right now, cash in the bank.
So we're talking about cash. We're not talking about the income statement. The 137 in October is, I'm sorry, I can't see it right now from the from my sheet here. I can't see what BAI's income over expense was, their surplus. Can you tell me what that is? October. I know these are preliminary because the numbers we have, I know for KPFA are preliminary because
yeah.
We have the income, correct?
Yeah, some of these folks had more cash than showed up there. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so October BAI was at cash and surplus. What were the two numbers?
Yeah, you mean the reserves? You mean what was their financial status in October?
Yeah, because you're giving us a 328 number. I'm just trying to see where did it come from. This 328 is what? Is cash or is that surplus?
That's cash.
The income statement. Okay, cash.
Yeah,
so
cash.
Okay, this is cash. And then October was 137. Is that correct? Was that cash or was that surplus?
In October, that is what we call a reserve or surplus, yes.
Okay. And then November you were at, as far as cash, you were at what?
I'm looking for that right now. For WBAI, you're talking.
Right.
Oh, give me a second, okay? I've had it.
Because again, I'm just trying to get the flow here because when we talked about CPB and the fact that you normally accrue that, it go down to the balance sheet. It's shown on a receivable, but then you said it was shown as cash, and they actually moved all of it up to income, and that they haven't accrued it. So therefore, as Carol was saying, that they have. They didn't, I mean, when they get to the surplus, they're not taking it back down to their CPB funds to move that equal amount for 6 months back up to income. Like Carol said, it's gone. So what you're doing is you're working with your current income from your fund drive.
Well, what you're doing, another way of looking at it, rather than, because we're using slightly different terminology, is the borrower, you can see it in terms of borrowing against that income.
Right.
On the grounds that you'll make it up later with revenue, which is what I was talking about, using a revenue status.
Right, but what I'm saying is they didn't take it back down to the balance sheet once you have the surplus. You didn't take it back to the did you take it back to the CPB line and put that back in to take your the accrual each month or the where you move it from the balance sheet back up to income. So you're going to do that each month because you went back and
November. I will remember this is just the first month. In November, the disposition of the CPB funds as they relate to other income items will show up in November.
Okay. Okay. So again, let me understand this again. I can only see the balance sheet in terms of what you just sent me, and I can see an income statement from September.
November's a year end, so.
Yeah. So let me just understand. So your CPB money. You took it to income in order to get over the fact that the fund drive funds were just coming in. So on the balance sheet as of December, you no longer show anything for CPB money. You're just showing your straight cash reserves.
Well, in that income statement, in that cash and capital report at the bottom, which is not going to be your standard report.
Well, we know that, and that's something that we said we're going to work on. You were talking about your list because we need to see a standard cash flow, and I'm sure that the programs can spit that out.
Yeah, actually, Indra produced their cash flow statements. They're available. She's been producing them.
Good. Well, that's something that we'd like to see, a standard one. But you were saying, I'm sorry before I said that. So in the 328 in December, you're showing that essentially, you have recouped your CPB funds, and then you can just expense or move it up to the income statement on a monthly basis the way you plan to do it.
Yeah, and see, that looks good. You got $328,000. Everybody sort of says, well, isn't that great? But no, I'm not relaxed about that.
No, because it's CPB funds, and it's not. And plus, you don't have your total $300K of reserves that you would normally have on your balance sheet.
Well, you would have, like I said before, what's happening at WBAI is essentially they're using incoming funds against projected revenues. That is, if they were to overproduce in the drive, right, by $100,000 or whatever the case might be, then they would be level again. So it's all, and I think that happened last year too. So I'm stressing long-term solutions. Is that when they do that, that means you have to actually, in effect, increase the revenue to cover up for monies you borrowed against that revenue. Let's put it that way. On the come. So at this point, you know, they got more funds than their drive called for in the budget, right? And you have to apply that excess revenue against the monies they borrowed, let's just say, from the CPB fund. And you net it out. So their net need against, you know, that CPB money, which in this case showed up at 150, is about $100,000. And that $100,000 would then be an important item to track against that $1.1 million that they projected for the revenue. So we're looking at maybe $1.2 million. As a way, or they could cut expenses or some other combination. But that's what you're watching for. That's why it's nervous. I'm not relaxed about it. Because not only do you have a higher number, but you have an accumulative sort of, deficit that may be looming. Now,
this is Laverne again. The explanations you're given, you know, they're fine. But when you talk about these things, you really need to see it laid out. Because, you know, you talk about numbers and you're going from one to the other and cash to the balance sheet. So unless, you know, I can see it laid out on a spreadsheet, it's hard to follow what you're saying.
Well,
I mean, intrinsically I understand what you're trying to say. But it's you know, when you go from like cash to that little cash and capital budget that you use to kind of like for people to understand at the station where they may be with cash and not having a standard cash flow statement, it's really difficult to follow what you're really saying.
I do have the Indra's current cash flow statement, which I sent to Broody. I don't know if you got it. It's in New York.
No, I don't have it.
Yeah, well, I think that I sent it along to, as soon as I got it, which is about a couple of hours ago, I sent it along to him as treasurer, so
that's
he would have it.
Great.
It's an update of the one, I think, that she showed me a couple of weeks ago. And she mentioned, I think it was mentioned at the LSB meeting. So the short version of it is that let's just stick with the cash flow analysis. That may be the simplest way. Does the station on projection have the $262.70 a month that they need on cash flow projection against those revenues? Answer, as of this day, $328,000 is in the bank. That means that they'll need another... subtract from that to 260. This is
mm-hmm.
arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
You subtract from that 260. They're going to need between now and when drive money starts to come in after the 16th of January.
Right.
That means that most of that's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to have 328, 260, you know, $60,000, say January 16, 17, right? That's all they're going to have, $60,000. And then they will be waiting for funds to come in from that period from the 16th to the 30th. They'll
folks, excuse me, I have to drop out.
Thanks, Max, for coming in. I appreciate this.
A strict cash flow, simple answer from where I sit is they got a $50,000, $60,000 margin to play with between now and the end of January. That's it.
Lonnie?
Yeah.
This is Dave. On the budget 3 that we passed, we have total listener support through through November of $632,000. And through December of total of 768, and total income through those first 2 months of 815,000, total of 1.04. Do you know where, as of November, where we stood relative to those numbers? You closed. November has closed, correct?
They haven't. I don't have the end of November numbers. I have their MEMSIS numbers, which is what we're working.
What does it look like from that?
I think that it's coming in about 560,000.
So yep. That's on listener support or total income?
I think that's total income.
Okay.
That's MEMSIS listener support income.
Okay, so that comes out to running about 70,000 behind, and so I guess going back to Carol's question about the CPB money, if that's stopgapping it, does that mean we have a looming problem?
Well, like I said earlier, I see them right now as we sit with $60,000-$70,000, you know, problem, and that they'll have to either make it up by the end of that drive, because they'll have cash starting with the drive, of course, either by excess revenue or by reducing expenses. So,
well, when we talked about this earlier in the year, one of the issues around reducing expenses and the whole idea of this budget 3 that we passed was it was really a bare-bones budget on everything with no staff position cuts. And so if they have to cut, my recollection was that there were problems associated in terms of cash flow associated with reducing staffing because then you triggered severance obligations and the rest. So the idea was, well, we would get ourselves into a tough spot. If we do find ourselves, you know, in that position, you know, Max raised the issue of credit line, but we have some stored money around the network. Is that money going to get drawn on to meet whatever costs are associated with that cost reduction? And B, what is the discussion going on at WBI? And maybe Baruti can talk about this, about, you know, what will happen in the event. For example, do we know what staff positions are going to get cut, if any? Are people going to reduce hours? And you know, at what point does all this stuff trigger?
Well, this is Baruti. There's been no discussions. I mean, I'd like to get a little more clarification from Lonnie in terms of that $700,000 problem or potential cash flow problem.
70.
I need to get a little clarity.
70, not
I'm sorry, $70,000.
Not that bad.
Right. $70,000 problem, because in the Memphis report, it indicates that we're at least as of December 21st, we had collected $630,000 from the fund drive. So, and I was led
right,
to believe
but,
that.
Right, but budgeted through December in that budget is $768,000. So I would say that 630 is just through the end of November. Through the end of December, we're scheduled for 768. So if we're at 630 by the end of December, then we're actually even further behind than 70.
Okay. That's 700, and that's from all sources, or that's just from listener support from a drive?
That's the listener support number. For the total income, with the budget, the bare bones budget was 1.04 for total income by the end of December.
How much was it in listener support by the end of December, Dave? Say it again.
768,750.
Uh-huh. And the MEMSIS report shows us that about 658 as of December 21st, if I recall.
So that's 110 behind. Assume 10,000 came in over the last 10 days, and you're talking roughly $100,000 behind now.
Is that your take, Lonnie? Is that also?
My number is 60,000 to 70,000, which I won't go into. But yeah, they're going to have to strategize around being off pace by 60,000 or 70,000. Now it matters why. You know, it could be that the holidays, they haven't entered some of the credit card stuff, or they haven't processed it and it's not in the MEMSIS. So you have to go deeper. You just can't take the numbers. You have to find out, you know, people aren't working over the holidays. And so you have to go make sure the stuff has been entered, if you have just an entry problem or if you have an actual cash flow problem. But you come out on January when people are back, and also the members are back and start picking up their bills. Many times folks don't want to redeem those pledges during the holidays because they need the cash. So, you know, lots of variables.
Right. And then we have to look at the expense side to see if we're expanding at budget, under budget, because income could be offset by, expenses that weren't incurred as of this point.
Yeah, you do.
You
have to go to all that detail. It's hard to. So you have to go to detail. And so things don't clear out until, you know, the first week in January.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stand up and look around and say, okay, where do we really stand?
Mm-hmm.
And but to answer the question, what do you do if you find you have a problem? What's been the plan? And what,
right.
Yeah, let's answer that question. I think.
And who's going to need, like, what's the chain of checkoff on implementation? In other words, when things start to move, what's the role of the local folks? What's your role, and what, if any, role does the national board play, and the finance committee, for that matter? Can you give us an outline of that?
I remember we sort of went through it, Dave, but here's the way I see it. I go back in January, and I sit with the business manager, Peruti Dunn. The numbers are not, let's just take the happy scenarios. Hey, looks like a lot of this stuff turned out to be entry issues and people are redeeming now after the holidays are over. Okay. But if we do have an issue, then the plan that we have operated from was we need to reduce expenses and we need to maybe revise even the revenue forecast, because we will maybe first or second week of January we'll have a better sense of how it's going to come. How those funds are going to come. Maybe the fulfillment rate is only 70 or 65. And that is, you remember, these monies take longer than a month to come in, so you're always operating with a lot of, unknowns. But let's just say it's clear you're going to miss goal by 200,000. What do you do? Our plan calls for, first of all, looking at non-layoff expenditures to reduce, working with this case would be the transition group plus the labor union people. You cannot exclude them, plus the treasurer and other folks from the LSB, the finance committee. saying, here's the problem. Here's the size of the problem and dollar amount. Here's some options that we work with in the past. Reduce non-layoff expenses. Then you move to layoff expenses, reducing by reducing staff. That might include starting with, I don't like to go into that kind of detail on a phone call, but starting with issues that the labor union would want to put forth. How should we do it? We prefer not to do it by seniority. We prefer to do it maintaining diversity. We prefer to do it using interim people first. You know, there are lots of issues, okay? I don't want to. So, anyway, that planning process has been gone through. That contingency plan is in place. It could be reducing salaries across the board by some fixed percentage, lots of options. It could be laying people off but do partial layoffs so that folks have time to adjust to it. That is, in New York State, you can do unemployment, get unemployment in a partial layoff scenario so that folks can maintain something like two-thirds of their income. All of those things we have looked into and created a contingency plan. How does it get triggered? It gets triggered generally. I trigger it by making a recommendation to first the local people so they have a chance to respond. Come on, coming out of that with an agreement, as we did before with the labor union and the local board of reps about what's best way to go. Then taking those joint recommendations to the finance and ultimately to the board. So that's sort of how we did it.
Well, I have a number of things I'd want to say, but does anybody else want to talk to this? Baruti, do you have anything?
Yeah, I wanted to find out, when did Lonnie think he would have, at what date would he have numbers by which he would be comfortable enough to take a position as to what, if anything, had to be done? And then, at least I want to start with that question.
Well, generally, I look at the credit card receipts. Mm-hmm. Because they come in somewhere between 5 and 10 working days after the drive starts, and that's sort of instant cash. If those credit card receipts are lower, we generally look for 50% of drive total, drive projection, to come through in credit cards. If it's less than half, say only 40% of the drive goal is showing up in credit card receipts after 2 weeks, that is to say 10 working days, that would be, you know, by the end of January, January, first week in February, then if there's red flags there and we're $100,000 behind on credit card receipts, that's a red flag. You have to start moving.
Lonnie, my question relates somewhat to the CPD money and the timing and all this, which is, if we're heading into red flag territory, then the sooner, and basically we're not in a position to see revenues go up, then the sooner costs get cut, the less we get behind. And so I guess my concern is, well, if we're this much behind now, is it, and like that budget 3, my understanding was that budget really took out everything that could be cut. But, you know, maybe people have found some other things. So two questions. One is, when can we see the the monthly reports that include November, so we can have a sense of where we stand, you know, income relative to projection and expense relative to projection. But also, is there any way to start doing anything in advance of finding out, oops, we actually fell further behind? Because, you know, if costs need to get cut, then they need to get cut. And also, what level of cooperation are you having? I mean, are people there clear and getting ready for this? You say you have a contingency. Is there any consensus around that contingency, or is that something that's going to create a lot of problems? So I guess there's three questions there. To pick whatever you want to answer.
Well, when we were there 2 weeks ago, we did meet with the union people again to warn them that while having exceeded goal for this first drive, we were not out of danger. They heard the message. They know the routine because we've done it with them at least once and maybe twice. Question around at what point wouldn't it be wise to start cutting expenses now and not wait? Well, what we found was that, yes, it is, but you're better off doing it under the radar rather than making a big deal out of it, because it can destroy morale. When people are looking toward trying to reach a larger goal, it's sometimes discouraging to say, well, we're planning to cut. Because they start worrying about, well, what about my job? Why would I work so hard if I may be one of the ones cut? Their attention is now based on that scenario rather than, raising funds and, that sort of.
Sure, but you can argue that the other way. They work day and night, work their butts off, and then after they've done all that work to raise all that money, they find they're being cut. So morale, from my perspective, I like knowing what I'm facing rather than getting an ugly surprise after the fact.
They know the plan, though, Dave. They know. If the funds aren't raised, this is the plan.
Is the plan already specific as to persons and hours? And are those persons aware of their situation so they, if they need to be able to do planning, can?
They are aware of they're aware of the options, right?
Okay.
Remember, we talked about it in an open session, too, remember?
Yeah, I know, but we don't name names in open
we
session.
We did name names.
So there's basically clarity as to what's going to happen when, but the goal is to give them as much opportunity as possible to address the problem before triggering it.
Yeah, and, holidays are a bad time to bring up the conversation, too,
So. Sure. Rudy, can you give us any other sense of, what's going on from your side that you see there?
Well, no, I've just, I talked to Don preliminarily about, the fund drive coming up, and, he said that he was going to have me in on the early meetings for that fund drive. I'd like to get the numbers from, Lonnie, at least as he assessed them now in terms of, what the current shortfall.
Do you have that available, Lonnie? Can you get that to Broody?
Yeah. We can. We sort of know what the number will have to be.
Okay. So at least, I could sit down with Don and Indra and the rest of the related finance committee people, and begin to get their feedback in terms of what they see. My general feeling coming to the meeting was that we were okay at this point. And obviously we just need to be concerned, making sure that we're on target for the fall drive beginning in January. So I'm just a little surprised now that we're about 70 short now, and that we got something to make up. So I definitely would like to get a little more information about the 70, or whatever the number is that we're currently short.
Need to plan.
Right.
How is the income, Lonnie? How is income other than listener support faring against the budget projections these last 2 months?
Not too early to tell, with grants, stuff like that. You got to be a few months out.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got this development person they're trying to get on board, too.
Carol?
I just want to ask a question. You say that they exceeded goal for the fund drive, which the goal for the fund drive was $900,000. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And they exceeded it by about 60-some thousand dollars, which is great.
$26,000.
Yes. All right. That's great. But when we look at the receipts from the MEMSIS, they were supposed to have received in cash through the end of December, according to the budget, $758,750. And according to the MEMSIS report, as of December 21st, it was at 630.
The fulfillment rate is 65%, I think, so far, instead
right.
of 75 projected.
Well, we know that it takes 3 months to get all the money in, so that's 2 out of the 3 months. So they've still got some more time to get the rest of the money in. But I show them in fulfillment of the pledges through the end of December, short roughly $120,000. And I know we're talking about, people may not be entering data during the holidays, or may not be paying their bills during the holidays, but their fulfillment rate at about 68% right as of December 21st is pretty good. So how much, if their your usual fulfillment rate there is about 70, how much more money can you realistically